Let's get ready to rumble!
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Far too kind.
Can I get an encore?
Do you want more? Cooking it raw with the Brooklyn boys. But for one last time, I need y'all to brawl. Now what the hell are you waiting for? After me, there should be no more. So for one last time, nigga, make some noise.
Who you know fresher than whole? Riddle me that. The rest of y'all know where I'm lurking, yeah. Can't none of y'all mirror me back. Yeah, hear me rap, it's like hand G rapping his prime. I'm Young H.O., rap Grateful Dead. Back to take over the globe, now break bread. I'm in Boeing Jets, Global Express. Out the country, but the blueberries still connect. On the low, but the yacht got a triple deck. But when you young, what the fuck you expect? Yep, yep. Grand opening, grand closing. Goddamn your manhole, crack the can open again. Who you gonna find open ahead with no pen? Just draw inspiration.
What's up, ladies and gents? We're back for another beautiful night of Left Foot Lounge Radio. I'm your host, Vivek Wallace, Vito, whatever you guys call me nowadays. Soon to be joined by a fight scribe, writer, journalist, whatever you want to call him, that I think is definitely of the upper echelon in the sport. Many of you who followed my work over the past 11 years along this journey know that I don't read a whole lot of boxing material at all, unless it produces nothing outside of raw quotes from the actual sources, etc. But this gentleman is someone whose opinion I've developed some great respect for over the years. And quietly, he probably not noticed, but along the earlier days, covering fights and hanging around in the media room, this is one of the guys who I actually spent a great deal of time trying to kind of watch and see how he went about some of his business in the sport. I always thought that he took professionalism for his craft very seriously. May not agree with every opinion, but at the same time, many of you don't agree with all of mine. So I guess it is what it is. That's the nature of the beast, but definitely someone that I appreciate in the sport relative to what he brings to the sport from a journalistic standpoint. That gentleman I'm referring to is none other than Kevin Ioli, who will be in the building with us here shortly. Many of you have tuned in over the last few days, last week or so, as we've taken a look at this Mayweather-Pacquiao scenario. Last week, we spoke to a lot of fighters, spoke to a couple trainers. This week, I wanted to consciously take a walk down media row and bring in some of the analysts and reporters and people along that line that will give us a different angle on this whole fight. You know, the trainers and the fighters, I'm sorry, guys, if I sound a little funny, I'm very congested this evening, so bear with me. Fighting a little cold, don't ask me, it's been a rough few days. But my point, last week, we brought on, Henry Ramirez, Randall Bailey, a couple other guys. This week, I wanted to get an opportunity to learn a little bit about the thought process behind the journalists who will actually cover this fight. So, you know, we had, who do we start with this week? We started with Ryan Burton from Boxing Scene. Last night we had my man Iceman John Scully did a hell of a job speaking as both a trainer and an analyst. So tonight, Kevin Ioli in the building. Tomorrow we're going to go back to a fighter, with Chop Chop in the building, DeMarcus Corley, who many of you saw give Floyd Mayweather a pretty rough outing when he came along to the World's Great Division a couple years back. And wrapping it up for us this week is going to be another gentleman whose work I absolutely respect, and that's none other than HBO's Kiernan Mulvaney. Tell you what, though, as I look at the headlines, just to touch on this before we bring Kevin Ioli in, never really fails. Every single day you look at the news, the websites, the headlines across the websites, and it's always some very interesting rhetoric passed relative to this fight. One of the things that I noticed took front and center today, which to me wasn't news. I was really interested. I thought it was pretty interesting, I guess I should say, to hear the opinions of others, though. We are roughly almost a month out. Floyd Mayweather's looking incredible. He weighed in at 150 pounds, 150.5, basically 3.5 pounds over the weight limit. And, I mean, me personally, that's the weight that the guy walks around at pretty much. I thought it was impeccable. But I found few out there who actually took it upon themselves to look at that in a critical way. I guess when there's nothing really to talk about, people are going to find things. I didn't think it was much to that. I guess as we go on through tonight, once we get Kevin Ioli in and start taking calls, I'm sure some of you will let me know what you thought about that. I have not seen a 30-day weigh-in on Manny Pacquiao, so I don't know what that looks like. But I think 150 this far out is very, very good. Just the latest subplot in this whole Mayweather-Pacquiao scenario. Last night, Iceman Jones Scully in the building with us. Some of you heard that particular call. We spent a little over an hour going over some things. I got some emails, a lot of feedback on that. I was very, very impressed with Iceman's dialogue and the statements he made, the comments he made. Very, very good to speak to someone who has been around the sport, actively in the sport. He gave some perspective that made me think about my Uncle Roger. how he said, you don't know shit about boxing, pardon the French, but I felt that way sitting there listening to Iceman John Scully last night talking about some of those things. It's only the second time that's really happened to me since I've been in this sport. The other time was sitting with the late, great Emmanuel Stewart. God bless his soul. But sometimes you talk to some of these guys and they hit you with perspectives that you never, ever really think of. And no matter how much you break this stuff down, I'm a total student of the game. But honestly, when you speak to experts, you learn that you're not one. And I think that's what happened last night. I think this could be another one of those moments this evening when we get Kevin Ioli in the building. He's a gentleman that also has been around this sport, not only actively in it, but I'm sure a fan away from it for a very long time. And that makes it really interesting because we also get, I guess, again, tonight we get an opportunity to dig into that historical element of this fight and see how it really compares to some of the stuff we've seen in the past, some of the stories we've heard from the past. You know, everyone looks at this fight as the fight of the millennia, you know, the fight of the decade, fight of the century, whatever you want to call it. To us, it's all those things. When you speak to some of the historians, you learn that perhaps it's not, you know, but that's, again, that's just one of those things that we will break down tonight. And we're definitely looking forward to that. On some other news, before we get Kevin Ioli in there, I think it only makes sense to touch bases on the fact that this weekend we have some action coming up. Very good action, actually. This Premier Boxing Champions through Al Haymon has been, I think, quite a hit so far. I love the fact that boxing has a presence on regular TV again. You got to love that. You definitely have to love that. Anyone that's a fan of the sport, I think you have to not only love it, but ultimately support it because it allows boxing to come back to a forefront where we haven't really seen it. You know, I listen to a lot of fans out there. I think it's pretty comical when you hear people say that it's a dying sport. The sport is not doing that good. You hear all kinds of things and you ask yourself, you know, you look at baseball, America's sport, or as they call it, you know, NFL with football, NBA basketball, all of these are sports that do very well numbers. But here is boxing, the one that's said to be dying, et cetera. And they're staging a showdown that will go down as arguably the biggest money-making sporting event probably ever when it's all said and done. And I think that says a lot, not only about boxing, but the state of entertainment, sports entertainment in America, the fact that, you know, this is something that you don't really see the ratings go through the roof in boxing on a weekly basis. You don't see that type of stuff all the time. But when the big guys come out, similar to the heavyweights in the past, the Muhammad Ali's, the Mike Tyson's, absolutely, But when the gloves come out and the lights come on, generally we're seeing firsthand that America does love its boxing. So that's a beautiful thing, and that's something that I think, you know, we can all definitely continue to see and get used to seeing as we get closer to this fight, but also keeping in consideration that we're seeing a lot of the other fights that are coming down the pike. This one this weekend, very interesting. We have Danny Garcia, who will be taking on Lamont Peterson. To me, that's a pick 'em fight. You know, I really believe that Danny Garcia, great young champion, you know, brings a lot of heart. He's like a Timothy Bradley in the sense that he, at least in my opinion, he's one of those guys that doesn't do anything great, but he knows how to win. You know, he's not the fastest guy. He's not the biggest guy, not the strongest guy, but he knows how to win. And I think that's something that, you know, you have to give him full credit for as we continue to see him rack up victories. This weekend he'll have his hands full. Because Lamont Peterson will not come to will not come to lay down. That's going to be a hell of a fight, and I look forward to seeing that one. Of course, on the undercard, Peter Kid Chocolate Quillen will be in the building against Andy Lee. But nevertheless, we'll touch on some of that. Rather than me running my mouth, I'm going to go ahead and jump out to the phone line and bring in a gentleman who is going to serve as our live guest this evening. Again, Yahoo Sports is Kevin Ioli. Kevin, are you with us?
I am here. Thanks for having me, pal.
Hey, great to have you, Kevin. I definitely want to thank you for coming. You know, before I got you on, I kind of let everyone out there listening in on a little secret. I was telling them how, you know, and I want to say thank you definitely for coming. You're one of the guys who quietly, when I began doing work, I've been around the sport for 11 years now, but, you know, you're one of the guys who I always looked at and respected, whether I agreed with the position or not. It was always well thought out, well presented, and never really in a way that came off as personal or agenda-based, and that was something that I appreciated. So now that I said it before you came on there, I want to take the opportunity to say that since we have you on there, thank you.
I appreciate that a lot. I feel really privileged to be covering boxing. I've done it for many, many years and got to cover a lot of the greats of the game. And, you know, I never forget that I could actually be working for a living and sweating and doing hard work. So getting to watch fights and talk about fights, I love it. And I'll never want to give up this job as long as I can.
Hey, I hear you on that, my man. So let's go ahead and jump right to it. Mayweather Pacquiao. For the last 5-6 years, it looked like we'd never see this fight happen. And to be very honest, sometimes it's still a little surreal to me that we're even sitting here talking about the fact that it's due to happen in just a few days now. When we look at the evolution, where we started, the drug testing, all of that drama in the beginning, for you being a gentleman that's been around the sport for quite some time, what do you feel or what do you think as a result of this fight actually happening now? Like, what's your thought process behind this whole reality that we have here?
Well, you know, first of all, I'm a reporter, but I'm also a fan. You know, I was 5 years old, maybe six. I don't remember exactly. When I went to my first fight was to see the legendary Sugar Ray Robinson. It turned out to be his final fight. I grew up in Pittsburgh. He fought in his final fight in Pittsburgh, and my dad took me for a birthday present to that fight. So I've been a boxing fan for that long, 50 years. And so to have the opportunity to be around this fight and to cover an event of this magnitude just is overwhelming, number one. So I was so excited when it got done, to, you know, just to begin with. But from a sports standpoint, you know, I knew it would be big, and I got ripped by a lot of people over the years. Why are you writing about Mayweather Pacquiao? There's so much. There's so many other things going on in boxing. Write about those. But I knew how much the public wanted to see this fight. But until Floyd Mayweather signed that contract and put it on shots that the fight was done, I didn't know how much it was. But the response to this fight has been extraordinary, and I've never seen anything like it and anything. I've had a full-time job in journalism for 36 years, and in those 36 years,
wow,
nothing comes close to what I see the interest in this fight being. And I think it's just going to build to a crescendo over the final 3 weeks.
Wow, that's you said a couple of things right there that totally paused me. I want to back up totally, though, and go to the Sugar Ray Robinson scenario before we even talk Mayweather-Pacquiao. That's really interesting to hear right there. Talk to us a little bit about what it was like. And I know you were younger at the time, but, I mean, that's a hell of an accomplishment to have. That's something not many people in the sport, not many people I've crossed paths with in the world have had the opportunity to say. What was it like to actually see the great Sugar Ray Robinson do what he does best, even though it was his last fight? What was that like?
I would be lying to tell you that I could remember anything from the fight. The only memory I have of the fight was just of how dark it was and all the cigar smoke in the arena. But I remember my dad was in the Army in World War II, and he was he fought a little bit when he was in the Army and was a big boxing fan, and so he passed his love of boxing along to me. And my dad loved two fighters more than any other, Rocky Marciano and Sugar Ray Robinson, and he used to talk about those guys all the time. So when Sugar Ray Robinson got a chance to fight, it was going to fight in Pittsburgh, and it wasn't known at the time it was going to be his final fight, just that he was going to fight there. You know, my dad wanted to take me, so it was my birthday. I think my birthday was actually before the fight, so it was a kind of a late birthday present. But we ended up going to that event. And I just remember talking to him years later as I had gotten older and could understand that I had gotten to see the Babe Ruth of the sport. I got to see the Jimmy Brown, the absolute greatest who ever lived. I saw him before he walked away. And, you know, so that to me, that was some. Tom Hauser did an article on it a couple of years ago, which I really appreciated. But that was one of the memories that I have. You know, people talking about who's the best you've ever seen, and never a hesitation, because I got a chance to see Sugar Ray Robinson, and I'll tell you what, even though I don't remember as a 5 or 6 year old what that was like that night, I studied his career, read a lot about him because it's been a great interest of mine, and what a tremendous fighter he was.
Wow, that's incredible to even think about. I'm still trying to wrap my head around even having that experience. I couldn't imagine. Let me ask you this, though, because when you speak Sugar Ray Robinson, you can't speak about anything outside of him being one of, if not the best ever. But to use that term nowadays comes with the conflict, because there's another gentleman that goes by TBE. And has been very boastful in letting the world know that he wants to walk away from the sport and being that. That being said, I guess I shouldn't ask this question first, but since we're talking about Robinson, I can't not ask this now. Looking at Floyd Mayweather's body of work, and I'm not asking you to pick one over the other. I won't put you on a hot seat, but looking at
you
his body
it,
of work. okay. If he faces Manny Pacquiao, and totally whitewashes him, beats him, whatever, dog fight, come out on top, however it happens. If he defeats Manny Pacquiao and walks away 48-0, take another fight or two, walk away 49-50-0, whatever, do you think he has a legitimate shot at the argument? Is he part of the argument for being the best ever? Your opinion.
I think he's part of the argument simply because of the time we're in. And there's not a lot of, you know, people can look at, let's take another Sugar Ray Leonard. People can look at him and evaluate him because there's good film of him out there, and they can see him and they can talk to people, many people who were alive who saw him fight. They can't do the same thing with Sugar Ray Robinson. So that makes it a lot more difficult. So I think because of that, because Floyd is a marketing genius, he has put himself into that conversation. I don't think there's any question. So is he in the conversation? Yes. But when you look at it, you know, and I was listening to you as you listed off his accomplishments, and if he wins this fight, he's 48-0. Sugar Ray Robinson was more than 48-0, and he was 128-1. And I think, you know, and he fought, I want to say 27 Hall of Famers. I mean, it's an incredible number. You know, many great fighters. And I just, you know, I don't think anybody compares to Sugar Ray Robinson. I mean, there were some other ones that were great and that are in the conversation for the greatest fighter of all time. But, you know, you're talking people who know more about boxing than I ever could hope to know. The Associated Press took a poll at the end of the 20th century, and they named the greatest fighters in each weight class and the greatest puncher in weight classes and the greatest puncher overall. And they picked the greatest welterweight of all time is Sugar Ray Robinson. The greatest middleweight of all time is Sugar Ray Robinson. The greatest puncher of all time, Sugar Ray Robinson. You know, I think that says a lot. And, you know, the greatest Floyd Mayweather is, and I think he's plenty great, and I have covered him since his late in his amateur career. I didn't cover his early amateur career. David Mayo, I think, has me beat on that. But I've covered Floyd from the amateurs. He's one of the best fighters I have ever seen in my life, but he's not better than Sugar Ray Robinson.
Point well taken. That's something that I wanted to ask you, particularly after you mentioned Annette, because I'm horrible when it comes to debates. Like, I'll sit and debate boxing points all day long if I'm not busy enough and something hasn't literally taken me away. I love to sharpen my knowledge with guys who feel one way or the other, because I learn just as much from guys out there as they feel and they learn from me at times. But this is something that definitely interests me, because in light of Mayweather using the TBE mantra, it's something that, you know, it's just one of those point of contentions that you find yourself debating whether you would agree with it or not. When asked on that very subject, my personal opinion, and this is bearing in mind, I was not around to see Sugar Ray Robinson. I've watched a limited amount of footage. I've done a great amount of research. The only argument that I think would support Floyd Mayweather as being part of the discussion, again, I won't dare make the mistake of saying being better, but part of the discussion, I like to point out to people that, you know, Sugar Ray Robinson made a living, you know, coming up as a welterweight, he was able to beat guys who were middleweights, junior middleweights, whatever. That was good in those days because no one else was doing it. But I also like to point out the fact, and you tell me if you, I'm going to test my knowledge or what I think along with what you think. If there's anyone that can set me straight on this, it will be you. I want to give you food for thought, and you tell me what you think. When you look at Mayweather and you think about the fighters in that era, guys fought 3-4, sometimes maybe even 5 times a month. So if you walked around at 160 pounds, you didn't have 6 months to rehydrate. You fought at 160 pounds. In this era, Mayweather, as a natural welterweight, spots pretty much every opponent, with the exception of very few, 14, 15, 16 pounds every night out. So one of the very accomplishments that made Sugar Ray Robinson a pound-for-pound great is something that Mayweather does almost every night out. Is that a fair point to make?
It is. I mean, I think that's one of the remarkable things about Mayweather's career, you know, is that he's done that. But, you know, as you were talking, I was thinking, well, does he know about Joey Maxim? Ray Robinson fought all these weight classes, and when he moved up to middleweight, you know, he fought in the 150s, low 150s. He fought Joey Maxim, I believe it was like 51, 52, somewhere in that range, at Yankee Stadium for the light heavyweight title. And I think Ray, I'm not in front of my computer now, so I can't look it up, but I want to say Ray for that fight weighed like 153 pounds. He's fighting for the light heavyweight title, so he's given up 20-some pounds, and he was well ahead on the scorecards, and then he got heat stroke in the fight, and he lost. He got stopped because of heat stroke. He couldn't continue. It was like it was a fight at Yankee Stadium, and it was 104 degrees.
Yeah, I remember that. The referee fell out in that one. I remember doing research on that. I think the ref actually fell out before. Yeah, I remember that
and
well.
And so when you talk about it, I think, and again, I don't want to see that. We get into a tricky point, especially in Twitter is bad for this, because you can't, you can only go 140 characters. But like when you're.
That's why I don't tweet,
ever,
to be honest.
you're a smart man, believe me. But when you're comparing the greatest ever, there's a fine line that's between them. And so I am not saying that Floyd Mayweather should have fought at middleweight because he's a small guy. He's a small welterweight. So I get it. Why should he fight Gennady Golovkin? You know, although Golovkin says he can make 154. But I get why Floyd doesn't want to do that. I understand that. But I think that when you're separating the absolute best of the best, when we're talking the top 5 or the top 10 or the top 20 fighters of all time, of the tens of thousands who have ever been brave enough to walk up those steps and slip into the ring, you have to then get to a very fine point. And one of the points is Ray Robinson moved all these weight classes. He started in the 130s, and he ended up, and he was fighting light heavyweights at the end of the time. You have to take those risks, and I think that is something in his favor. He was a big puncher even at middleweight, which wasn't his natural division. Even Sugar Ray Leonard, as great as Sugar Ray Leonard was, when he went up, he wasn't a puncher at those bigger weights. You know, clearly against Marvin Hagler, he wasn't going to knock out Marvin Hagler. But Ray Robinson was able to do that. So I don't want to take up your whole show talking about Sugar Ray Robinson.
Absolutely.
But I just think the fact that Floyd is in the conversation with Ray, in my mind, just tells you a great deal about how great Floyd Mayweather is. Because Mayweather, you know, anybody to be in the conversation with the greatest ever with Sugar Ray Robinson, you've accomplished something.
Absolutely. Now, switching gears and going away from that whole thing, and that was excellent input, by the way. Thank you for dropping those nuggets. But let's go back to the fight itself. You know, now that it is actually signed, like I was mentioning earlier, you know, we did go through that period where there were major questions relative to whether or not this would actually happen. We got past all of the testing controversy, all of that stuff. Looking back on it in hindsight, though, when we think about all of the venom going both ways, et cetera, Manny Pacquiao was the one who took a brunt of the negativity because of his decision to not do the testing. When you look at everything in hindsight, do you think with the loss to Floyd Mayweather, does that whole scenario taint him and his legacy at all if he falls short against Floyd Mayweather in your mind?
I don't think so, and I'll tell you for this reason. I mean, I think it was a huge mistake on the part of not only Manny Pacquiao, but Bob Arum and Top Rank. And I think they mishandled that whole situation in 2009/2010 when that was all being negotiated. But I don't think, and I'm pretty certain this is true, you know, you can never really know for sure what's in somebody's mind and in their heart, but I think it was ignorance of drug testing principles in general and not of, oh, I have something to hide. And that's a big difference. And I think, you know, and also it was, you know, remember, as big as Pacquiao is now and as big as his fight is now, in 2009, after he beat Cotto, there was a legitimate dispute in the public. I was on Mayweather's side at that time thinking he was the best pound-for-pound fighter in the world. I thought that since 2000 or 2001. And I felt that in 2009, 2010, at that time this was being negotiated. But there were a lot of people, a lot of good boxing people who thought Pacquiao was. This is like two rams butting heads. Neither one wanted to give the other one an edge. So I think you have to view that in that context. So now, you know, I look at Pacquiao, gave up a great deal to make the fight happen. He could have gone on, you know, he made $27 million to fight Chris Algieri. He could have gone on and done those kind of fights. But, you know, he wanted to fight Mayweather, and I give him credit. And I think Mayweather, give him credit. He wanted to fight Pacquiao. They managed to get it done. I think it was ludicrous what we went through for those 5 years and that we had all this crazy stuff happening. But at the end of the day, I don't think it really detracts from either fighter. I think they go in with their reputations intact, great fighters. They're both Hall of Famers. And I think whoever wins, this is going to be a very significant win for him.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's something – you know, I mean, just looking at it in that context, you're right. There's no way to, I think, add, or I guess there's a way to add, but there's no way, I think, to legitimately subtract from either guy if they fall short on the night of May 2nd. Because this is literally, I've said from day one, in my opinion, this is literally one of the few times where history got it right. You know, we would have loved to see a Sugar Ray Robinson versus a you know, Floyd Mayweather or Mike Tyson versus Ali, Kobe versus Jordan, whatever. Well, mm-hmm. This is a scenario where we legitimately have the two best fighters you know, literally the two best fighters in that era in the same weight division able to square off. So I don't think you can set a better plot than that, personally. No. But, you know, go ahead. I'm sorry. What were you going to say?
No, I was just because I agree with you. I think that you're 100% right. I mean, you can't ask for anything more than we got. You know, I wrote this a couple weeks ago in Yahoo Sports. You know, some people were complaining, oh, the fight would have been better. I'm not buying it because they should have fought 2009. And I agree. They should have signed a deal to fight in 2010. They were negotiating in 09 for a fight. I agree. They should have done that. That was the smart move, and they should have fought two or three times already. I agree with that. But I still think they're both – most pound-for-pound polls before the negotiations on this fight even started had Mayweather number one, and most of them had Pacquiao either two or number three. And they're clearly 1-2 in their weight class. So I don't think that there's that much diminution here of the fight. You know, so I think anybody who's complaining is just looking for something to complain about. The fact that the public, the general, not the boxing public, the general sports public, just the casual fan, the non-boxing fan who's going to watch this event, this is such a huge event for the sport. And it shows that if they were over the hill bums, people wouldn't be this excited.
Yeah, you know, you just mentioned something that makes me want to go down a different path briefly. And there's a really interesting point you just made about people making noise and basically wanting to cry, just to hear themselves cry kind of thing. A couple weeks ago, Bob Arum was quoted as saying that he thinks a lot of the dissension and a lot of the drama we had over the last 5 years has a lot to do with the fact that the quality of journalism in boxing is no longer what it used to be. Now, it's funny for me because unlike yourself, I'm not a journalist in that sense. Yes, I've been writing for many entities, sports, as well as more close to life topics, et cetera, for 20 plus years, 16 in sports in general, 11 in the sport of boxing itself. So I do have the pedigree, but at the same time, I didn't go the route that you did. When you look at boxing and you see all the dot-comers and fans with cams, guys who can just put an opinion out there out of nowhere and literally have the world thinking that it's true. You don't see that in many other sports. What you as a journalist that's been around for a long time, what are your thoughts about that and the quality of journalism in boxing today?
I am so glad you asked me that because I believe unfairly got criticized that my opinion got miscast publicly. And I was accused for many years of being against .com and internet writers, which I was absolutely 180 degrees opposite of what my opinion really is. The only thing I have to say negative about .com writers, and I don't mean that in a pejorative sense because I am a .com writer. I don't work for a newspaper anymore. I mean, I work for a .com. But some of the people that have blogs that aren't necessarily paid by a major outlet, let's use that way, is that they have to follow the same rules of professional journalism that we do. And as long as you do, then I'm welcome for you. I'm willing to help you. I'm willing to lend my support to you. And if I can help you in any way, I want to do that. But I'm working. This is how I feed my family. This is how I make my living, by writing stories and interviewing people and doing these kind of things. And if you're going to come into my workplace, you have to obey the rules of my workplace. And it's just like anything else. And so if some of them want to come in and they want to be fans and they want to cheer and they want to be friends with the fighters and they want to, you know, be social with them and go drinking with them and do whatever they do, you have to follow the rules that are in the profession you're in. And that's my only thing. If you're a professional and you follow the rules of the profession and you do good work, I support you and I'm all for you. And so on average, I think it's great what the internet has done for boxing. The internet has largely kept boxing alive over these last 15 years or so, maybe more. I think we're seeing what Al Haymon's doing with the PBC, a resurgence of boxing, with the Mayweather-Pacquiao fight being made, with the fights that are going on network television. They're forcing, you know, so Top Rank had to respond. Now they've got fights on basic cable coming up on True TV. This is a great time to be a boxing fan, and I think a lot of that is attributable to very good and very hard work by people who don't get recognition every day as elite journalists, but there are people who kept boxing alive, and now we're at a point where maybe somebody like an Al Haymon can push it to another level and get it back to where it used to be.
Yeah, I noticed when they did the I won't say inaugural, but when they did the initial media coverage for the PBC series, I know that that was very, very, like, they were very strict with who they allowed to be part of that. And I saw immediately that I think their position probably is to take a more serious approach with the level of journalism, et cetera, which I think is good. And I would also say, to support your point, that as long as guys are going to take it serious, I think it should be fine. I think one of my problems personally, you do see a lot of guys who normally, you know, in the media world, they will say and do certain things for credentials or for whatever. And me personally, over the years, anyone who's followed any of my work knows my favorite saying, I'd rather be hated for being honest than loved for lying. Generally, I don't even bring fighters and trainers on my show for that purpose, because I never want anyone to feel like I'm going to be in their back pocket. I'm going to report fairly, and I take it serious. I always have. But not everyone does, and I do think that that has been part of the reason that some of this stuff, to support Bob Arum's point, I think that's part of the reason that we saw a lot of this stuff go probably further than it should. But getting back to the fight itself, when these two men step in a ring, I want to talk a little strategy with you just to get your insight from that standpoint. No, you're not a trainer, obviously, or a fighter, but you've been around the sport long enough, I think, to give sound advice on this. Strategy, from a strategy standpoint, when these two men get in the ring, who do you think technically has the true edge? We look at Pacquiao's speed, his angles, his work rate, et cetera. You look at Floyd's. I mean, he's a consummate professional, always in shape. To me personally, highest ring IQ I think I've ever seen. When you look at these two styles, knowing that styles make fights, who do you give the edge to stylistically?
I picked Mayweather to win the fight, and I think Mayweather has, you know, what you said, his boxing IQ makes a big difference in this. When everything else is close, go with defense and go with the guy who is the thinking man. And I can make a case that Manny Pacquiao wins the fight. I think the reason that there's so much interest in this fight is that, hey, Mayweather could lose. And this, when a guy of Mayweather's caliber might lose, that gets people interested because they want to see history. They want to be part of history. You know, if I'm making the case for Mayweather, I talk about his defense, I talk about his jab, and I think one of the most underrated things about Floyd Mayweather that I think will be a big factor in this fight is he's got a great lead right hand. He dropped that lead right hand on guys. You saw him do it in the second half of the fight against Zab Judah, and I think that's going to be a really big punch for him against Manny Pacquiao. Pacquiao is very aggressive and comes in. And I think Pacquiao, you know, he's never said this, but I think, you know, kind of the way he fights, he's basically saying, hey, you know what, I'm willing to take one to give one because I hit harder than you do, and you're not going to be able to take mine as long as I can take yours. And I think that that's sort of, he fights that philosophy. And I think Mayweather, who's going to be on point more in this fight, I think both of them are, he starts dropping that right hand, and Manny's going to have to pay for coming in. And I don't think it's going to be so easy for Manny to just get past that right hand that Floyd is throwing. So I think, you know, from that standpoint, that's going to be very big for him. And Mayweather is so good defensively and so smart. He sees things coming. If Pacquiao's to have the best chance, I think it's early. Once Mayweather gets a chance to look at him and, you know, kind of get the timing down, I think it'll start to swing Mayweather's way. From Pacquiao's standpoint, I think he is one of the few guys Floyd's faced that is close to him in not only speed but quickness, and I think that's really important. And he also has that power that Floyd faced Diego Corrales, who had that kind of power, but Diego Corrales didn't have that kind of speed. And he faced Shane Mosley, who had it, but Shane Mosley was kind of at the end of the line. You know, when you look at, you know, Pacquiao still has that speed, he still has that power. You know, this is not saying he beat an old, if he wins, don't detract from his win by saying he beat an old Manny Pacquiao. No, he's beating a guy that is right there, you know, right at the very top of the game. And I think, you know, this guy, you know, just, you know, whitewashed Timothy Bradley, you know, was doing really, you know, he lost to Marquez, but guess what? He was on the verge of knocking Marquez out, and he went for it. Had he been conservative and not tried to knock him out, he probably wouldn't have gotten knocked out himself. So I think, you know, you can make a case for each guy, Vivek, but I really believe that Mayweather's defense and his ring smarts are going to be the difference in a really good, a surprisingly good fight.
That's interesting. You know, I've been so up in the air on this one. I just tell everyone 50-50 because I really have an extremely hard time saying either one of these guys could lose. I think if I had to put money on it, or if I had to really call it, I would probably have to say Edge to Floyd because of those intangibles, the speed, the defense. You know, he's deadly. His precision with the lead right, like you mentioned, is, I mean, I can't think of many guys that good. And, you know, I think one of the conventional logics as well, looking at this fight, is that, you know, Marquez gave Pacquiao hell four times out of four, or I should say three to four times. We know it happened, but he gave him hell every time out. And Mayweather is a bigger, faster, stronger Marquez, better counterpuncher, more precise, faster. So you would think that that gives him the edge, but there's a side of me that also feels Marquez, similar to what you were mentioning about Pacquiao, Marquez is willing to take some to land some. Floyd is not, but the flip side,
well,
to counter that
this, you know,
point.
What you have to remember about that is this. Just take that whole Frazier Foreman Ali thing and throw Ken Norton in that. Ken Norton gave Ali huge, you know, most people think, you know, Ken Norton won at least two of their three fights, if not three of their three fights. And yet he couldn't compete with George Foreman. You know, Joe Frazier beat Ali once, gave him two tremendous fights. You know, yet he couldn't compete with George Foreman. And then Ali destroys George Foreman. And, you know, when you go, and I think that to a certain degree that's a little bit, you know, based on their styles, and that's what we're seeing in this fight. And I wouldn't say the easy thing is to say, well, Pacquiao struggled with Mayweather, or Pacquiao struggled with Marquez four times. Mayweather destroyed Marquez, so ergo, you know, he's going to destroy, because we know from boxing history, styles make fights, and the style of the fighter, and also when the fights come. And I think that is a big factor. So I think, you know, I like Mayweather in the fight, no question about it, but I would not discount Pacquiao's chances.
Yeah, I would totally agree. I want to ask you one question, Kevin, and after we do that, then if you don't mind, we got some callers out there that want to get a few questions in with you before we shut it down. So we'll take a few of those. Guys, if you want to get in queue, go ahead and press one now, because we'll be shutting down in another 15 minutes or so. But really quickly, before we start taking those calls, Kevin, I had this question asked of me by a fan, and I've posed it to everyone I've brought on the show, because – it was a really compelling question. A particular fight fan wanted to know, which would be better for Mayweather's legacy in the end? Would it be, you know, the ability to totally whitewash a dangerous fighter, arguably the best offense of this generation in Manny Pacquiao, completely whitewash him, or a type of victory where he touches the canvas, gets buzzed a few times, and has to win an actual dog fight that no one expected him to win because no one really has seen him fight? Which one of those two victories would be better for Mayweather legacy if he is, in fact, victorious May 2nd?
Well, I don't think there's any question, in my opinion, the former. I think if he whitewashes Manny Pacquiao, I think that that's going to say there's nobody in his era that was remotely close to him. Because he's whitewashed virtually everybody. Yeah, he was a little bit close with Oscar De La Hoya. If you go through his career, how many rounds did he even lose? A ridiculously small amount. And I think if he blows out a fighter of the quality of Manny Pacquiao, who, you know, Manny Pacquiao just a year ago, it'll be 1 year, you know, 1 year and 2 weeks when we get into the ring on May 2nd, that he just blew out Timothy Bradley. What does that going to say about how good Floyd Mayweather is? If he gets up off the canvas, and if he wins a dogfight and he shows the doubters out there that, you know what, he was a tough guy, you know what, those people, if they really believe that he's not a tough guy, they're ignorant, and they don't know boxing. Floyd Mayweather is an extraordinarily tough guy, and if anybody wants to say, oh, he's not, they're either delusional or they don't know boxing. I mean, this guy is a tough guy. Just because he fights a defensive-oriented style doesn't mean he's not tough. So I think in the larger picture, with people who know for the history book, if he wipes out his best competition, there's no question whatsoever that he is the finest fighter of this era. Nobody can ever debate that. And I think that'll go a long way to securing his legacy, much more than if he takes the canvas and shows grit and determination getting up.
Excellent answer. That was very well put. I'm looking at the queue, and I see people jumping in there. Before we jump out, I want to have a little bit of fun with this. I'm going to name one attribute about each fighter, and in one word, I want you to explain or give me what your thought is in one word relative to that attribute about that fighter. Manny Pacquiao, speed.
Excellent.
Floyd Mayweather, ring intellect.
Genius.
Manny Pacquiao, footwork. Floyd Mayweather's lead right.
Tremendous.
Manny Pacquiao's chin.
Solid.
Floyd Mayweather's toughness.
Unquestioned.
Okay. The most curious one I had right there, Kevin, was Manny Pacquiao's chin. There's a lot of people who seem to think he doesn't have much of one after the loss, but honestly, I still put him up there with easily the toughest fighters in the division, if not in the sport. He's a very durable guy, always has been. But let's go ahead and jump out to the phone lines. We have 13 minutes left before we shut it down. Guys, I'm going to get in as many of you as we can. Kevin Ioli, Yahoo Sports in the building with us. We'll take your questions. We're going to go out first, looks like, to the 612. 612, live on Left Hook Lounge Radio. Let's talk boxing.
Vito, it's Kareem. Thanks for choosing me. Hey, Kevin, love your work or what have you.
Thank you,
bro. I got a different question for you, not about Mayweather and Pac. I'm curious with your proximity to knowing the business side of boxing. What has been the inside talk of the PBC? I've noticed I was just watching a basketball game right now. I'm seeing a lot of local advertising for it. In other words, are they getting good ad support? Is it very encouraging? And thanks for taking my question.
You betcha. Right now, the ads, as you probably have noticed, haven't been great. They haven't had a ton of advertising yet. I think they have to have a number of shows in the bank before and have the ratings before they end up getting that really consistent big-time ad support. And there's a number of issues that are going on there. But here's the thing. Their ratings have been very good. The one concern that I have about the ratings on all the shows, but specifically that NBC show that they did, the March 7th NBC show, the average audience was very old. They did win the 18 to 49 that night, or they came in second among the networks on the 18 to 49 that night. But they did not they didn't bring the average age of the audience down enough, and that concerns advertisers. So they have to bring that down. But the sheer numbers they've gotten, that 1.3 million on Saturday afternoon on CBS, tremendous number. Spike's number was over the roof. You know, more than double the Friday night fights on ESPN. I thought the solid number on NBC. They will get the ad support if these numbers keep trending the way they are, particularly if they can get more of the 18 to 34s involved in watching boxing. And I think that what the PBC is doing is outstanding, and I think they're going to appeal to those people because I don't think that 18 to 34s intrinsically hate boxing. I think they turned away from boxing because of all the politics and all the shenanigans and there was too many champions and all the other problems that we talk about. They turned away from it because of that. But if you give them good fights on free TV on a regular basis, they will come back, and I think we're starting to see that now.
Excellent question. Kareem, before we jump to the next one, did you have anything else you wanted to throw out there?
No, I thought I was out of cue. Thanks for the answer.
Okay.
Anytime, man.
Hey, thanks, Kareem. Thanks for calling us, my man. Take care. Good to hear from you.
Likewise.
Okay, good stuff right there from Kareem. Let's go out to Looks like we got one from Park in Madison. Park in Madison, live on Left of Lounge Radio.
Hi, Vivek. Thanks again for the pleasure to speak with you, Kevin. I'll make it very quick because I know we have a very short time tonight. My question is you're a journalist. Why do you think the boxing journalists show such extreme bias against Mayweather and most times don't call it down the middle? I mean, you have Ring TV, Boxing 20, Boxing Leech, and the... I'll give you a few.
You're breaking up a little bit. Come again.
All right. So I was saying about the extreme bias that boxing journalists shows against Floyd Mayweather. And I said the list goes on. I mean, you have current topics like good versus evil, where Mayweather is being the devil and Manny is being God. You have Manny allowed to fight Algerian Rios and get in the pass. And before this fight was actually trying to fight Vargas without any brushback whatsoever. And the journalists were calling Floyd a coward for not fighting Triple G. And then you have the
Let's here's the thing. I think the answer to that goes to the question that Vivek asked me a little bit ago about what I thought of the new breed of journalists are out there. And I think there's a lot of really good guys that have made a living and have become very good at doing this. But there's also some people, just like they're terrible boxers, there's terrible reporters. And not all terrible reporters are at .com either. I don't want to say that. There's some terrible reporters at newspapers and at TV stations and at mainstream outlets. So I don't want to put it all on the .com. But I think that there's some bad reporters out there, and there's a lot of people who are frankly not reporters but are fans and have opinions, and they're putting them out there, and you're happening to see what they write. Anybody with any sense of credibility cannot question Mayweather's toughness, as an example, or some of the other things. What's happened, social media has created this whole, everybody wants to have a take, and they want to have their two cents, and they think they have to be outrageous to get attention, and that's what they do. I wouldn't pay a lot of attention to that. I think, you know, if you look at the mainstream media, and if you look at the respected reporters, most of those people, hey, we may not all agree that Mayweather's the great. I don't think he's the greatest fighter ever, but I think he's one of the greatest fighters ever. And I think he's been a sensational representative throughout his career of boxing for what he's done.
But Kevin,
so we may disagree on is he number one or is he number five? But I think reasonable minds would obviously say this guy has been good for boxing and he's a tremendous fighter. And those other people, I think it's just, you know what, they should be stocking shelves at the grocery store, because that's really what they are, not legitimate journalists, if they don't recognize his greatness.
But Kevin, you even have the Bleacher Report. You even have Dan Raphael at ESPN continue to run bogus stories like the $5 million boxing penalty when he knows it's bogus. And you still have guys like him talking about how Floyd is his percentage against southpaws is terrible, and even the whole thing about trying to make the fight when Floyd had to call Manny out and Michael Conn's out at the game and says what contract sign?
I'm going to defend Dan, even though I'm not 100% certain what you're referencing. You know, Dan is a fair reporter. I don't always agree with everything Dan writes. And, you know, he is my chief rival in terms of, you know, Yahoo and ESPN. There's no question. But Dan is a good reporter. He's a fair reporter. I don't always agree with him, but I don't think that Dan makes stuff up and comes out of whole cloth. I really don't believe that. Now, Bleacher Report is a little bit different. They have hired a lot of quality journalists throughout their sports. Mike Freeman of their NFL coverage is outstanding. Howard Beck, a basketball writer. They have a lot of guys like that. They also, Bleacher Report is also, anybody can sign up to Bleacher Report and write. And sometimes those stories get seen around. So don't confuse the legitimate writers at those sites with kind of the phony, you know, I don't want to say phony ones, but, you know, the people who are just fans. I don't know who you're referencing in Bleacher Report specifically, but I think sometimes, you know, maybe as fans, I'm a Pittsburgh Penguins fan, I'm a Pittsburgh Steelers fan. If people criticize the Steelers or Penguins, I take it personally. If you're a Mayweather fan, don't take it personally, because you know what? If you're following the fight and you're really paying attention to the sport, you know better, and you know that these people are just, you know, they have there's some agenda, or they're just doing it to try to get traffic. I think that's one of two things.
Well, Kevin, I mean, I'm a fan of the sport, and I'm a fan of winners. But I mean, even when you talk about Rafael, I mean, he shows his bias when he tweets and says that he can get into Australia and Floyd can't. I don't necessarily think that's
who
someone
said that?
Dan Rafael. He tweeted it.
I agree. You know what? If he wrote that, he was wrong, and that to me that was really chicken bleep, right? And I would disagree with that. But that's what social media sets us up to do, because you know you're trying to have a conversation, and if we were out drinking at the bar and the three of us were sitting at the bar shooting the shit and just having a lot of fun, you might make a joke like that. You know, it's not really your opinion. It's not really, but you say that as a joke. But then when you do it on social media and you have, you know, several hundred thousand followers like he does, and it gets tweeted all around, it gets blown out of proportion. And that's one of the, as great as social media is, that's one of its huge weak spots. Although I'm not going to defend Dan for that, because that was, he wrote that, that was really a bad, bad joke and in poor taste. No question about it.
I mean,
definitely.
I mean,
hey, Park, I'm going to have to jump on to the next one. I apologize, my man. I got two more to get in before we shut it down.
Thank you for taking my call. Vic and Kevin, I really appreciate it.
Appreciate that, Park. Thank you, my man. All right, let's go ahead and jump out there quickly. As a matter of fact, I think this would be the final one of the night. We're going to go to the 216. 216, live on Wrestle Grounds Radio. Kevin Ioli, Yahoo Sports, in the building with us.
Hey, Vito and Kevin, how y'all doing?
I'm doing great.
Pretty
I hope
good.
You're not from Cleveland.
Cleveland, yeah.
You're not a Browns fan, are you?
No comment.
No comment.
But anyway, that's a whole other topic. But, you know, one thing I like about you, and I'll say it to Vito, too, I like y'all, the credibility aspect of it. I remember that, you know, when Mathesis and Devon Alexander, he fought Mathesis and Kolatek, and it was a close fight, but you gave him the edge in both fights when, you know, social media thought Mathesis won it, you know, overwhelmingly, and 21 other media outlets gave it to Alexander, just like you did. So, you know, and that was a big thing for weeks. So, and like I said, credibility is huge because of the fact that, you know, they said Muhammad Ali and Evander Holyfield both picked Pacquiao. We found both stories to be untrue. And, you know, just like I said, you know, both of y'all got a lot of credibility, and I do appreciate both of y'all being credible, because you got people like, I hate to say it, Scoot Mikowski, who I get into it with, to where he don't ever answer back, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, he just so biased, it's not even funny, you know what I'm saying? Okay, you don't like Mayweather, okay, let it be, you know, you let it be known, and let it be that. Don't just, you know, keep on telling lies after lies about somebody getting paid off and all this and that, when you ain't got no facts behind it, you know what I'm saying? So, you know,
yeah,
but but I do appreciate y'all, both of y'all, credibility in that. And like I said, Muhammad Ali website and his wife both confirmed that he didn't make no prediction. And Evander Holyfield had to tell, you know, a couple of websites and a couple of interviewers that he did not make no predictions. You know, he just gave his analysts for the fight, but he didn't give no predictions. So he said he don't know where all that came from. He said, but, you know, people will take a little bit of what you're saying and run with it. So that's basically, I'm picking Mayweather, too, and I think his experience, his physical advantages, and, you know, I'm not saying, I know Margarito's bigger than him and all that, but the physical advantage works well for him because of the way he fights, and that's going to be the deciding factor in this fight. And that's because he got a 5-inch reach advantage and a 2-8 height, and he got a lot more big fight experience. So, and he knows that he ain't allowed himself to lose. So that's all I have to say, and thank y'all very much.
I appreciate it.
Thank you, my man. Okay. All right, ladies and gents, we can't tie Kevin up all night, so I am going to go ahead and get ready to shut it down. But, Kevin, before we go ahead and shut it down, I do want to thank you for coming on again, and I want to give you an opportunity before we fall off air to let everyone out there, for those who may not know, let them know where to find you at, Kevin.
Well, obviously my work is at Yahoo Sports, and I just had a story that I'm going to tweet out and put on Facebook that I think is going to be a battle between Bob Arum and Leonard Ellerbe. So you guys might want to catch that one. So, but you can follow me on Twitter at Kevin I. I'm on Facebook under my name, Kevin Ioli. My last name is Iole. And Yahoo Sports is the place where you'll find all my stories on there. So anytime, you want to friend me on Facebook, I'd love to have you, and I'd love to talk boxing and MMA on social media with anybody who's a true fan.
Good stuff right there, Kevin. One last thing I do want to ask you before we drop off. I have to put you on the hot seat right quick. You know what's coming. If you had to make an actual prediction right now, Mayweather Pacquiao, May 2nd, how does it end?
I think it's going to end 116-112 Mayweather. I think it's going to be a good fight. We're going to see back and forth. We're going to see Pacquiao in control for a little bit. But I think Mayweather takes over down the stretch, and I think we will see Mayweather win. Let's just say, I'm going to even say, two judges have it 8-4, and one judge has it 7-5, unanimous decision for Floyd Mayweather.
Wow. There you have it, ladies and gents. Good stuff, Kevin. Great, great answers, man. I could sit and talk boxing to you all night. Unfortunately, I decided I'm not going to travel for this fight. I'm going to be a total fan and actually watch you with my son. So don't ask what I'm thinking. I'm kind of crazy. But, yeah, I made that commitment to him, and we're going to do it. So I won't be out there with you, but you take care, and I hope to talk to you before the actual fight as we draw closer.
Look forward to it, man. Anytime. Thanks for having me on so much. I really appreciate it.
Hey, thank you, Kevin. Take care now. Good stuff right there, ladies and gents. Kevin Ioli, Yahoo Sports. Excellent fireside chat right there. I got to sit back and go to the archives and break that one down myself. Excellent stuff right there from Kevin. But on that note, I'm going to go ahead and get ready to shut it down, guys. Don't forget, tomorrow night we'll be back on air. We're going back to the fighter element. We've been talking to a lot of writers this week, trainers, et cetera. We're going to a fighter tomorrow. And, again, that's going to be DeMarcus Chop Chop Corley. Very interesting sound bites coming in that one. You don't want to miss that one. So hope to hear from you, ladies and gents. Then on that note, I'm going to get ready to shut it down. Say peace, God bless, one love. Father of two, friend of all, lover of one, second to none. I'm out, ladies and gents. Good night.